All subject matter of the preceding podcast is entirely alleged and not admissible in a court of law. And just in case you rat bastards get any ideas, the hosts of this podcast are notorious and well-documented liars with no legally admissible credibility. This is Mama C, and you're listening to Notes from the Pen podcast. Welcome to prison, bitch.
Greetings from the prison industrial complex. You're listening to the Notes from the Pen podcast, one of what I'm assuming is a million prison podcasts at this point, but we were one of the early ones. No one's done what we've done. We got the best fans in the world, best hosts in the world. And yeah, we're back. And I have JD with me. It's been a minute.
What up?
What up?
Just been dipping around in the ocean. What a loser.
Mm-hmm. Dive in the depths.
Yeah.
Talk about a white person's extracurricular activity.
Scuba diving? Absolutely.
Yeah. Like my life, there's not really any threat to my life or safety or well-being. So this is what we're going to do. We think that our ancestors who decided to crawl out of the ocean a while ago, they just didn't have enough stick-to-itiveness.
Right.
So we're going to craft a bunch of gear and submerge ourselves up to, what, 100-something feet?
Yeah, about a buck 30, if, you know.
A buck 30. That's a technical term, ladies and gentlemen. A technical diving term.
It is.
A buck 30. And let's go tool around down there.
Yeah.
And where you have no place being, but I assume it is pretty amazing.
It is fantastical. I'm sure there are some of our fans out there that have experienced, and I encourage all of you to at least give it a try.
Give it a try.
It's a whole new world. And I'm not going to
say
it's a whole new world. I knew you were going to do it.
We just got sued. We owe $20,000 now. Here's the thing. I actually had this thought walking back from Chow because there's this great Jason Isbell song. I don't know if you know this guy. He has a song called Cast Iron Skillet. I saw him on The Daily Show. He's a country singer.
Mm-hmm.
You know if he's on The Daily Show as a guest doing an interview and performing. He's one of the good honkies.
Are you sure?
And
he wasn't the one that had that song about, like, not in our town. Like, try that in a small town. What was that fucking bullshit?
That's Toby Keith.
No. Toby Keith's dead.
Oh, I thought he's dead. Oh, you're talking about, I can't stand that guy. It's not Cole Swindell. It's the guy who does, he does, like,
Jason
the country
Aldean?
Rap shit.
Is it Jason?
Yeah. Fuck, turd.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. So Jason is...
By the way, if you're a fan of Jason Aldean, we love you. No, he sucks. He's such a hack. No, this dude is on The Daily Show,
okay.
Which Lipcarts,
he's back,
and he was in the movie Killers of the Flower Moon, more recent Scorsese film, and he told some great stories, charming, and so this song, Don't Wash a Cast Iron Skillet, sounds super, like, honky-tonk, like, but the first verse is about a childhood friend that he kind of, you know, they grew apart or whatever, and he ended up killing some guy and doing life in prison. For murder, and then the second verse is about a family member of his, I'm assuming a cousin or something, of his, who fell in love with a black dude, and her dad never spoke to her again, like never, to this day hasn't talked to her, and so the chorus is a bunch of, like, southern, I don't know, euphemisms?
Gospel singers?
What?
Like gospel singers?
What do you mean?
Well, what are you saying? What are you saying? You said euphemisms.
I'm saying the chorus is a bunch of southern euphemisms. Euphemistic.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, like euphemistic sayings. And don't wash the cast iron skillet. So he's doing the interview, and he says people started coming up to him, and they were like, you know, you can wash a cast iron skillet. And he said, yeah, now you get it. Like, now, yeah, that's kind of the whole point. It's just really cool, man. Fucking amazing song. So I was kind of, like, mumbling it to myself as I was walking back from Chow.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this like, verbatim in my head, and this is why I brought it up with, is that I thought, you know, I'm copyright proof. Like, I can sing any song on any show or anything because there's no way I get close to the requisite notes to for copyright infringement to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, because I think you're allowed to say the lyrics, right?
Yeah. I mean, Randy Rizzo did it all the time.
Randy Rizzo changed the lyrics, though, and he created it.
Yeah.
Gems
Randy
out of
Rizzo.
Otherwise.
Yeah. Hi.
I was going through. I found a bunch of his writings I paid him for.
Oh, you did?
one day we will get an archaeologist and a linguist together to try to decipher the madness involved. And
maybe it is stuff. Just a cipher. We just have to find
it. I mean, it looks like one. Okay. You know, I got to send this stuff home and post it. You guys don't steal any of his T-shirt ideas. So, no, we don't have something about copyright infringement. I think that's the main thing. What? We have, it has been a minute. So,
a long time.
We should probably catch up on some stuff, yeah? I got a ton of shit to talk about. But okay. So, classes started.
What class? Because they don't even know what's happening. You got to tell them what class.
No, we did, and I think the Friday episode that just came out covers it on Patreon. But, you know, something happened recently that kind of threw several days into chaos around here, and I thought we might want to cover it.
Please.
And it is
you never go 3 or 4 days without calling me. I was very worried, ladies and gentlemen.
As you should have been.
I was.
So, when you're in prison... You live under, if you've been around and you know what's what.
Okay.
You live under this perpetual anxiety, or you should if you're a neurotic, anxiety human being like myself.
Mm-hmm.
You live under this perpetual, there's a lot of perpetual simmering anxieties, right? One of which is the fear, warranted or not, meaning the fear, of a mass shakedown. And I don't remember if we ever covered it. I think we covered it briefly before, what that's like and what it entails and how it goes down.
We've talked about having like your cell tossed and how big.
Those are just regular shakedown.
Right. But not, I don't think we've covered a prison-wide shakedown. So.
Okay. You totally different vibe, totally different energy, different. Everything's different damn near. So when you have a normal cube or cell shakedown, They stop at your shit. If you're in there, they go, make you go sit in the data room while they toss your shit. You know, and there's a certain quota they have to do for those. So they're not always vigorous. You know, a lot of times they're just kind of open the locker, flip through, and say, okay, let me mark this off.
And to be clear, no neighborhood is safe, correct?
No neighborhood is safe.
Okay.
Yeah, anybody can get it. Mm-hmm. Anybody can get it. And so with a mass shakedown, though, it's the difference between like a knock on the door and like, hey, could we come in and can we just like stick our head in and we won't bother anything? Well, it's not, regular shakedown can also be horrendous too. It's the difference between that and like the unannounced SWAT team, boom, like slamming the fucking door breaker in that bitch. And
what do they call
your
special team in there again? I can't remember the
CERT.
CERT, right. Okay.
CERT teams. I think that's what they're called. The CERT team. And so but it's been a long time. I don't think I've been part of a mass. I've never been part of a mass shakedown in a cube setting that I can recall. Quite a few in level 4 and in level 2 where we had our own like two man cell. And there they come in. They so the way the units are shaped, there's only certain people with cells on the exterior wall that are with windows that look outside and not to the back. Like both wings have shit that look outside, but if you're on the back, you're looking out into nothing. If you're in the front, you're looking out to the compound and you can see when people are coming. Now, in higher levels, you know a mass shakedown. There's some telltale signs. The first person who stands up and pushes their water supply in their cell and nothing comes out, you know the water's turned off. And they turn the water off so you can't flush shit. So... when that happens, it's incumbent on you to run to the door and say, the water's off, there's a mass shakedown coming, right? Okay. So everyone gets a little jump on it. And also, if they wait to turn the water off or no one notices, if someone's on the front side window and they see the goon squad coming, then they run to, and hey, there's a mass shakedown, and it spreads real fast.
But that's in a different level. That's not where you're at, because how would you know if the water's off? Because you guys share common restrooms, correct?
And so they don't need to turn the water off because I mean, you could run in there and flush some shit, but it's not in your cell or anything anyways.
Right.
So the only way we have noticed is someone on the window side to say there's a mass shakedown.
Somebody starts whistling bird calls.
Right. And we don't get that. And I don't know if it's prison, just not being prison anymore or level one's not being prison, but we didn't even get that. So this is what happens. 8:30 comes around and they blow the emergency count siren earlier than they usually do it, right? And it's basically a tornado siren, super fucking loud. Woo! You guys have heard it before in the background.
Yep.
And everyone, immediate anxiety, everyone files inside. Right? Mm-hmm. And usually they, I think they're supposed to do one once a month.
Wait, can I ask you, so once that happens, can they, is it almost a way for them to see, like, okay, who jumps first and who's moving the most, rather than like, okay, this guy's not moving, so he doesn't have anything to hide, rather, or the guy that's just tornadoing around his cell, are they looking for those people or no?
No. Okay. No. That's way too much. You're giving them way too much credit. So they really blow the siren on like a quota thing, like once, I think it's once a month, right? Mm-hmm. And we're so close to level four that when it blows, you can't always tell where it's coming from.
Oh,
right?
Really?
So you're like, is that level four? You have to go outside. Sometimes the COs are confused. They're like, I don't know. I think that's level four. So you go back down to your cell or your cubes, and you sit in there, and inside you have a red light and a white light that come on that everyone can see inside. And that's how you know it's count time, not just emergency count, it's count time. So then they'll get on the mic, everyone will be on your bunks, emergency count.
Wait, what's red indicate and what's white indicate?
Nothing. They just indicate when those lights are on, it's count time.
Okay, I didn't know if it would say red's count and white is chow. I didn't know.
No. And then that way you know when count is over, those lights go off, and you know you can go in the day room, you can go get on the phone and do all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the lights are on, emergency count time. Now, 19 times out of 20, if not even more than that, it's just a general emergency count. It takes a little bit longer than a regular count. You get through it, you leave, and everything's back to normal, right? Mm-hmm. Now, occasionally, maybe one out of every 10 emergency counts, maybe less, maybe like one out of six or seven, something like that.
Okay.
They'll bring a squad in and pick an individual unit.
Mm.
And they'll go in there and...
So they pick a unit, and they're just going to focus on them, correct?
Right. And what they do is, from my understanding, they go, because I haven't been part of it in here yet, it'll be a regular count for everyone else, right?
Yep.
And when count clears, it clears and you go back to normal business. But for whatever unit, you know, and there's different reasons. Maybe they pick randomly. Usually it's because shit's been happening, right? Like people have been dropping kites, telling on people, fights, people freaking out, zombie land stuff. And they go in there, they strip search everyone, check all their clothes, and then send them to the gym where they stay for quite a while. I think the last time was like 8 hours. It was nighttime by the time they got out of there. And they go through.
Search, just to be clear, because you and I talked about this on the phone the other day, not just a little bit tappy here, tappy there, strip search.
Yes.
Let's see your balls and cough into the mic. Yeah.
Not just that. Lift your balls. Okay, now lift your dick from off your balls to see what's under there.
Mm-hmm.
Some people can hide more than others. And
your starfish.
Look at this. Look at this guy. He's got a book under there. Is that a flashlight? So they send you over there, and then they demolish your shit. They go in there with razor blades to cut open mats.
Really?
Those wand metal detectors.
Yeah.
And they go through everything. They go through everything. There's usually some alley towards the end and whatever. And I'm sure there's a bunch of people because the whole thing is like to hit you a surprise. Like, bam, they're on you. Sometimes they'll come in through the back door. Like, so you don't even know because people are looking up.
The forbidden entrance.
Yeah. Well, it shouldn't be, but it has been for a long time. We're trying to change that. In here specifically, we're trying to change it. Still outlawed. Still frowned upon. There's different variations that happens. When I was in level four, they would basically strip you out. Everyone would get in line. They'd call a cell out, and they'd be down at the showers, the COs, and they'd strip you out there, and then they'd make you wait in the day room while they toss your cell. Now, if you got a bunch of shit in there, like let's say you're doing tattoos or whatever it is, you're like biting your nails out of the day room. Like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. And then the panic and dread and fear if they come out and like they cuff you up or they got something is only matched by the elation when they tell you you can go back to your cell. And when you do, the entire hallway is littered with shit because they just throw stuff out.
I imagine.
One time I had I keep my coffee in a cleaned out peanut butter jar with a spoon in it.
Totally
technically,
makes sense.
You're not allowed to do that.
Wow.
So I came out back one. I can see, like, in front of my cell is my coffee in the thing, and it's all I got. So
and
they're
to be
like,
clear,
I'm walking back.
This is their idea of a deterrent. This is their idea of saying, see, like, this could happen at any time. This is their tactic for trying to deter people from doing stuff like, oh, I don't know, having a cup of coffee with a spoon in it.
I think, again, you're giving them too much credit.
Okay.
I don't think it's a deterrent at all.
They're like
just
the Vogons. They're the Vogons,
it's
man. It's just, we got to fucking fill out this piece of paper.
It really depends on which, whoever it is shaking your shit down. Because, like, your neighbor could have someone else, and they let them keep their shit, right? So as I'm going back, I'm hockey pucking this thing with my foot, trying to get it back into the fucking cell. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I've been successful before, but I've also been caught, like, trying to kick it back into my fucking cell. You know what I mean? And then I got to argue with the guy. But my point is that whether you're hiding a fucking Uzi or a coffee, every single inmate, convict, has something to worry about.
Sure. Absolutely.
There's no jailing.
You got in trouble for having too much cardboard.
You're not allowed to have any cardboard.
I know, but when you were painting, remember you had...
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a problem.
Apparently. Yeah, you can't have... You know what I mean? In the way, there's like a planned obsolescence with the shit you buy break. Everything breaks. The fan blades will just break off. They'll get gunked up. Like, just nonsense. And if you fix it, it's altered state property,
yep.
Right? And they can take it. If you buy a new one, that's loaning and borrowing. And if you change, like, put your number in it, that's a theft. They'll call it a theft ticket, and it'll be a class one theft ticket. So, to be clear, everyone has a reason to worry. Not just, there's no such thing as, quote-unquote, innocent in the eyes. It's impossible. It's just impossible, right? You have three pairs of socks. That's all you're allowed, technically, to have. There's 7 days in a week. Just do the math on it. Like, what?
Well, you're only supposed to wear one a day. Just one.
Right, but of the thing,
pair.
It's not even... Like,
and then alternate feet.
Even if you wore them twice, 2 days, there's still one missing day. And there's still one going to have to be worn three times.
Well, you
times.
Flip them over, right? Or yeah.
Inside out, bottom, yeah, that's day one.
Well, you put the bottom on the top, and then you're okay, right?
Yeah, I never thought about that. So you do inside.
You put the weird heel
inside out
on the top.
You do inside out,
uh-huh.
Right side, top side,
yep.
Inside, top
oh.
Side, out. So
you're
that's four
good
times.
For like 12
that's
days.
What I've been doing.
Yeah, you're good
that's
for
what
like 12
I've been
days.
Doing. Huh? 4 days per sock. I literally have holes in, like, I think I have two pairs of socks currently that I can pair together that aren't.
Well, wasn't
the
that your
socks.
Solution for... holy heels was to just flip them over and put the heel part on top.
Yeah. Well, currently I have two pairs of, like, I can't even say structurally sound, just socks without holes in them.
Your Sunday socks, your church socks. Yeah.
I really need those calf suspenders that they used to have back in the day with the, because they are just, the elastics all gone. They just fall down around my fucking ankles. Oh, like,
so did you ever find out through word of mouth, like, what prompted all this? Or, again, this was just nonsensical and it was a Tuesday and we had to do it. We forgot for the last few months.
I don't know.
Okay.
But
all right.
Let's get back to it. So
yeah.
They blow it and we sit in there and we're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting and we're like, okay, 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
It should be about done. Okay. 2 hours, this should definitely be done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 3 hours. So here's the thing, you know, it happens at 8:30, and they planned it this way, I think, because they're like, okay, we'll have until like 1:30 when we have to call chow, because we can push chow. Because usually you go to chow, the first unit will go to chow like at 11:45, but they can push it back to like 1:30. Now, what they typically do, remember I told you surprise is like their big weapon. What they typically do is to buy themselves time, to give them time to do all the shakedown and shit, they'll have the chow hall workers make bag lunches the day before. But
right.
when they do
your favorite,
whenever I don't mind it, you just go grab it and come back.
Mm-hmm.
But when they do that, the workers come back and say, hey, there's probably gonna be a mess shakedown tomorrow because we made a ton of bags for no reason. And so people get prepared and they're like, hey, okay, so let me go tuck this away, put this away and that. So I think that's what they were trying to prevent this time, because there was no bag lunches. And we didn't, I never heard any heads up about any mass shakedown. And so we're waiting there. And as time's going and time's going, we hear someone say, man, I just saw, I think Justin was actually coming back from, I don't remember where he was at. Is it just, I don't know. But he said, yeah, I saw a bunch of like National Guard type looking people outside of like coming out of F unit or whatever. And so now we're like going, okay, so now in my mind, I'm telling, I'm like, this is going to be a mass shakedown. That's why we've been in here so long. They're going unit to unit.
Right.
The ever positive inmates of the MDLC, old Nate Dogg being one of them, was like, no, they would have been in here by now. They're probably just doing that unit. I'm like, they would be done by now.
Right.
So sure enough, we're the very last unit. They don't get to us till like 3 o'clock or something.
Damn.
Like we're hours past lunchtime, right? And so sure enough, they come in there without any warning from the noobs in the front that can see out the window. They should have said, hey, guys, they're coming. You know what I mean?
Right.
None of that. But you have, like I said, because of this, any time there's an emergency shakedown, I act as if they're going to come in here and do and hit ours. Now, I've never been correct about it, but I've always been prepared. Now, I don't have a bunch of, like, super threatening bullshit, but I do have an extra fan.
Yep. Like, yeah.
I mean, you're pornography. So I'll take my fan and like wrap the cord up and put it away. I'll take my porn, which is always already put away anyways. You know what I mean? But but anything else, like I'll just make sure everything's in its place.
You take everything I'll else take and throw it on Rush's bunk.
there's a neutral site is the table. So people do put shit on the table.
Oh, and then I don't know. Yeah. Whose is that?
ain't mine. And so my big thing this time was, what do I do with my remote? And by that, I mean not a wireless. It's like a wire hooks on the back of your TV. And
right
at
the back door.
And you have like a little extension, and then it's a wired remote, and they're homemade, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, I don't want to lose this because I don't want to have to sit up every time I got to change this goddamn channel. And we're living good in here. And so I'm like trying to figure out where to put it. So I put it in my pocket. I'm like, no, if they strip us, they're gonna find it. And then I'll like just let me just nonchalantly put it in with my other electronics. And then I set it down and I'm good. And I look over at it and I'm like, damn, that looks really weird in there. Like I'm overthinking it. I'm like, what if I like put it under my mat? No, that's in. I just like put it 10 different places before ultimately I'm like, I'm just going to put it in a pair of pants.
You're consulting
like
the rest of the guys, what do you think? Where should I put it?
Hey, does this look weird? Does anything look weird?
Hang
over
it
here?
Over the side, yeah.
All right. They come in and we're all like leaning out of our cube. Like if you guys go to the website, you can see,
the drawing.
You can see like a layout, so you can kind of understand the geographics of it. But if we lean out of our cube, you can stare down the hall into our bathroom. And there's a dude. I mean, it doesn't. Every single person's like lemmings, not lemmings. Prairie dog. Yeah.
Yeah. Prairie dog.
We're all leaning, fucking out, looking in a big old Aryan man that ex-military, high and tight, wearing Desert Storm khakis tucked into his boots, and what looks like an AR-15, but it's like it's got a paintball hopper on it. With, I think, rubber.
Fun things. Okay.
Yeah, so he's got this slung around his shoulder, and he ushers in behind him. Now, we can't see the front side, so people are standing up on their bunks to look over the wall to see what's going on the other side, right? Same action. So these young cadets, old baby-faced fucks, come in here, and they all clear the bathroom out. They go and search everywhere. They search the day room. They search inside the trash can. They clear the entire lobby, the laundry room, everything. And then they set up shop in the bathroom. And then they start bringing people from the front side, the first cube. And I know them because I can see who the people are. I know where they lie. And they're bringing them in, strip searching them. And they're taking a minute. So you can tell they're like doing a thorough strip search. And then they put them in the day room. Now we need like, we have our prairie dogs up on the bunks. Like, hey, what's going on over there? So then they go in to the cells on the first side. They just boom, boom, tearing up.
Mm-hmm.
And people have like this queasy look on their face, like,
Really?
Oh, no. Well, certain people, yeah, for
certain
sure.
People. Okay,
certain
yeah,
people.
Yeah.
Now.
Those guys, the Willy Wonkas of the cube, as it were, candy collectors.
I've always been like this. I have nothing but a remote, okay. Right, to worry about. So I don't really have any vested interest. Other than I'm mischievous and I want to, so I'm watching and I'm like, I swear to God, I'm thinking of David Blaine and Chris Angel. I'm like, the shit these guys do isn't actual magic. It's sleight of hand.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Misdirection.
Sure.
It's so, and I have a book called Practical Magic that shows like, oh, shit. And then just half the women on the planet are like, I would never sleep with this guy, but that's okay. I'm leaning, I'm like watching and I'm like trying to find, like, I'm like, where's their weak spot? Where's, and again, I don't have anything. So,
mm-hmm.
And then I kind of develop one and I go to someone who looks particularly worried,
mm-hmm.
particularly worried. And I think I know why.
So you found a chink in the armor.
You found a little
opportunity.
Well, you're not allowed to say that. I'm allowed to say that. You can't say that.
I'm sorry.
Now,
should have thought that.
Hold on a second. So as people are like sketched out and worrying, you know, like one by one. So at first people are like I said, people in prison, it's actually, it's worth studying psychologically. It's kind of interesting. People in prison are simultaneously the most pessimistic and the most unrealistically optimistic people on the planet. And so even when they come in and I'm like, told you so, uh-oh, they're on the move.
What?
The black suits are on the move right now.
What's that?
Two, three, four. They're going to...
So we're falling out?
They're not running right now, though, so they're all just converging, so it's not class one emergency. Okay, they're following. Someone who seems to be walking away. they seem general confusion
sir?
By the black
sir,
suit.
Sir, slow down, sir.
They seem to be okay. They got someone fucked up. They just escorted out of
They just wanted to talk to him about his extended car warranty.
Judging by the color of his hand, the white male...
Mm-hmm.
All blues. Maybe he knew he was going to the Hulk. He's wearing all blues. For those of you pebbles that are, you know, have a convict certification, you will know that a man in all blues who normally isn't in all blues. Nope. Tennis shoes.
Oh.
Yeah, white tennis shoes.
Oh.
You don't get to keep those in the hole. Okay, so as they come in there, they're like, well, maybe they're just going to do like... They're just showing them. They're just like a training thing. They're just going to walk them up and down here. And I said, what the fuck would make you think that? Like, why would it have taken 6 fucking hours for them to tell me they were doing?
Come here. Step into my office, young man. Let me tell you a thing or
right.
two.
And then they go, oh, nope, they're in the first cube. Well, we've seen strip search, right? And then they're in the first cube. Well, maybe they're only going to do the first cube.
Okay.
What? Okay. You keep planning on that, bud.
Yep.
Oh, nope, they're in other queues. Oh, shit. Maybe they just got to do like four random ones. Like, just, are you paying attention?
Maybe
like,
they're just going to do Steve. Maybe they're just after Steve.
Right, maybe they're taking you into the bathroom and they have Carmen Electra via 1996 and they're blowing you. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah, maybe, fucking maybe. You dummy. So as this is going on, though, and each little, like, fingers crossed hope for some of these people with the saucer eyes are going, no offense, you're allowed to say that I'm not.
It's like watching blackjack, or not blackjack. What's the roulette? Like, don't land on seven. Don't land on seven. Don't land on seven.
Right, and anxiety is just as the wheel slowly stops and it's clicking, clicking, clicking. Right,
it's the
and so
of sweat.
So I'm watching, and I'm like, I think I spot like a way that someone they were so inclined.
Okay.
Good. Now let me pose this to you as a noob.
Yes.
Or no, you're as like who should hours training should be official convict certified status, but is still just an inmate. you're like working your way up to it. You might get it just on hours completed.
Yep.
Eventually we'll just push you on through and graduate you.
Okay. Cool.
Kind of what happened to me in high school. Okay, so let me just say a small like one of the small, like, thinner novels, right? Like, let's say you had something that size,
mm-hmm.
and you were in here, and you saw this. What do you think you could do to, like, what would your, like, so let's start going through the options you think you might have. to put it somewhere where it might not, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where you might get to,
probably wouldn't, you know, choose like something the size mm-hmm. of The Outsiders. Probably go.
No. Imagine a large, like, imagine like a tablet. Let's just say a tablet.
Okay.
You know, I'm like, I don't know how, like not the massive ones though, like the half iPad one.
Yep.
Larger than a phone, like one of those massive, massive phones.
Gotcha.
Like cell phone.
Yep.
Let's say something like that. What do you, let's hear like some, where you think you might be able to do with it. This goes for the Pebbles too. Like, I'm Vince, can you just think about what you might do with it? Hiding it, right? That's the first obvious option, right?
Maybe try and, if you were fortunate enough to have a stash of maybe books that you could maybe stack it in between, like on a bookshelf, your Foot Locker, to where it kind of just, oh, that's just another book. That would be my first go-to.
But it's clearly not a book.
So I get it. But just at first glance, you know, it's kind of like, you know, throwing a bloody back seat just to pass by, you know,
Which would have made sense to, like, maybe hollow out like a book and try to place it in there. Mm. But let me tell you this. This is a go-to for CEOs doing shakedowns, to take books and go with a thumb through them.
Yep. Okay.
Thumb through. So that's probably not gonna make it any other. Like, you could always just stash it in the common area, but you don't want to lose it.
Risk losing it, right? You know what I mean? Right. Do they fuck with your Foot Lockers? Like, do they pick them up? Could you slip it underneath your Foot Locker?
It would be off balance. It would, you know what I mean?
At first glance, I mean.
No, they're going to pull your shit out, though. They're going to pull it out.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
They're going to pull it out.
Pillows are too easy. Mattresses, I mean, you said they're bringing.
You could do that. You could put it in there, but if they wave the wand over it, and then also, like, it's almost impossible to stitch those things back up to where you can't tell that something's been done. And that's actually what one of the things they had in the quiet room. They had two torn apart mattresses, and people knew that. So they already know.
Could you put it under your television just to see if it blend in?
Our TVs aren't like that. Okay. Our TVs aren't like that.
Okay, gotcha.
They're thin. You know what I mean? They're thin, clear, and even the stands are clear. So you would see that, and the TV would be weird.
Yeah.
Do that. There's a space under the locker, right?
Okay.
Enough to fit like a 20-ounce bottle. You could do that, assuming they're not, but that's also a spot where I'm going to tip it up and look under. You know what I mean?
Yep. Mm.
And it depends on how hard they're shaking down. You know what I mean?
All your clothes? Like,
if they're really doing it, yeah, they'll unravel your clothes.
Because I was going to say, stick it in like under your folded clothes, possibly.
Yeah, that's like but they're gonna go through there and they're gonna wave like a wand over it, most likely. So yeah, they'll typically do that. They'll feel your pillow weight.
Yep.
They'll I don't want to give away any spot, but basically I rack my brain and I'm like, I don't know what these motherfuckers are gonna do.
Right.
I'm looking out and I'm watching and I go, I got it. So if you see, like if I was to walk down my hallway towards the bathroom. Before you get to the bathroom, on your right is the day room. Now, there's two doors to the day room. There's one immediately when you get out of the hallway.
Okay.
And you go in there. And then right before you get to the bathroom, at the other end, there's a door.
Right.
And the CEOs doing the strip searches are in the bathroom, and there's one outside of the bathroom. Now, half the time, he's standing with his back against the sidewall, so his left eye could see if someone was coming down the hall, he could see.
Gotcha.
But the other half of the time, he's turned around and like kind of constructing or looking whatever's going on in the bathroom. Now remember, when you're done being stripped out, you go sit in the day room.
Okay.
So I said, I think if you timed it right, you could take your fucking shit, walk down to that first door. Slide in there with your shit.
Yep.
And just sit in there with it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could stash it in there. But, you know, they might also go check everything. But you could just sit in there with it. And they're non-regular. So they're out. They don't know why is this guy in here? You know what I mean?
They're just going to assume that he just got strip searched and he's just hanging the fuck
out.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm down.
And that's the old David Blaine thing. And then there's also a to add to the tension, as they're moving along and getting closer to our side and all this stuff, mm-hmm. there's also the time frame of, like, they didn't think it was going to take this long.
And it's like 3:30 at this point.
Yeah, yeah, we're hours away.
This is lunch.
Now they
not supper chow. This is lunch chow.
Right.
Damn.
And they can screw us on eating for a little long enough. They can keep delaying that because we're well past where we're supposed to eat. Yeah. But they can push that back. They can't fuck with the daily meds. And you have to go to get your daily meds. Mm-hmm. Insulin shots and your Medline stuff, right? You need that stuff. Those people need that stuff. So they hit a wall. Like, so everyone's doing this countdown, like, holy shit, what are we going to do? Are they going to – and then what are they going to do? So then they call Medline.
Damn.
Now I go, okay, here's another opportunity.
Yeah.
If you can either pretend like you're going to Medline, because I doubt they're checking all the stuff, or hand it to someone who's going to Medline, and they can would do whatever, stash it, pass it off to someone who's in another unit while they're over there, and be like, I'm going to get this later. Who's because we were the last ones.
Yep.
You could all do that. But maybe they're strip searching the people before Medline. You know what I mean? To make sure.
Right. That's a gamble.
But I doubt they're doing that. And all you have to do is wait to see one person go out to be like, nope, that's not what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a route out. You know what I mean? And they also don't know, like, I could have been like, oh, I'm going to Medline.
Yep,
like,
for sure.
Unless one of the regulars saw you, they wouldn't know and you'd be good. So at this point, their, like, their chain of custody shit is, like, ruined. Now, you know what I mean? Because up to this point, they know nothing has made it out of this place.
Mm-hmm.
No illicit thing. But once that happens, it's like the contamination seal is broken. And who knows now?
For sure.
What I mean? Someone's going to win.
Yeah, you're watching that wave come. Like, it's headed your way.
Right. And there's like one little way to get... but eventually, once that happens, I think they throw their hands up and go,
All right.
Look at the thing. All right, like, you guys got to wrap this shit up. You took too long on the other unit. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and then they turn the corner and they start coming around here. And right before they hit the first queue on our side, count light goes off. They exit, get the fuck out of here.
Wow.
And they call chow.
What the fuck? How many people were like a collective, just heavy sigh?
There was a couple.
Woo!
There was a couple that went from abject panic and terror to... Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And this is the roller coaster of life
that
behind
is
bars.
Amazing.
You know,
that is
and
amazing.
I experienced some of these like jolts and stuff, and I don't even have shit in there. It's just it's like Pavlovian for me. I'm like,
I was
oh,
gonna
no.
say, like, did you even? I mean, to a certain point, because you're like, at least I don't have to put all my shit away. Like, yes, you didn't.
Right,
have
but yes.
You
I had
to
like
have
reconstruct
to reorganize everything, and put
I had to reconstruct my setup. So I pull my fan out. I put this back, put this back, put this back. And then I go like this. Where the fuck's my remote? Where did I?
Yeah.
Where did I put my remote?
Okay.
And I start pulling up my blanket that I keep on my TV stand. I go back to my electronic thing, dig that out. I pull, I got this thing where I stack books at the bottom of my bed. That's like a pallet for paint. I pull that out and I flip, where the... And by the time I find it, folded up in a pair of fucking socks, which I thought I put in my thing, my entire area looks like I'd been through a shakedown.
You did that shit to yourself.
So they did a mass shakedown, didn't get to us, and I shook my own shit down.
This is what you've become. Oh, fuck me. Holy shit, what a tale. What a fucking tale, man.
And this is the this is why you guys come to this show.
Damn.
Because it's absurd, it's ridiculous, and no one's doing what we're doing.
Nope.
And over the last couple weeks, I've heard four people on their own, like not talking to me, say, "I'm gonna start fucking with a podcast." Okay, let's not. I don't.
You have 1 minute remaining.
I feel like that voice is a little too affected.
Yeah.
Maybe take that. Maybe take that. I mean, we've already used the chink in the armor, the saucer eye.
Yeah.
Because really, that was a Swedish guy that said that. All four of those guys were Swedish. They
totally.
I started fucking with a podcast. And it made me go, you don't brush your teeth, bud. Like, what are you? Good luck with that. Good luck with that. God bless you. And the more voices, the better, I guess, unless they're really... narcissistic and arrogant or misleading or any of that shit. But
Hey, we love you fans out there. Thanks for
tuning in. Yeah, we love you so much. And it's real nice. It's real nice to be back. And,
yeah, brother.
On behalf of myself, JD, Mama C, and everyone who worried and didn't have to worry, we love you.
Yep.
We are gone.
We gone. What's happening?
I'm out back in the studio.
Nice, bro.
Yeah. And you're on the ironing board.
I just sat at the ironing board, buddy.
Right. Which isn't actually an ironing board. It's a full-fledged professional studio with assistants and producers and editors and Foley artists.
Yeah.
And all that good stuff. We're just trying to remain humble and let the people feel connected. Actually, I'm not even in prison. It's the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. It's
a big clever ruse in order to kind of manipulate the left-leaning populace into first caring about someone.
Well, this is the only way we figured out we could get a TV show made.
Right, but also to manipulate the political left, right? And this is how we do it.
Right.
This is the plan.
Mm-hmm.
I actually work for Tucker Carlson. And this is his brainchild. And this is a complete character, which is why the person you know as Bobby C. or Robert Caldwell is so egomaniacal and narcissistic. And all that stuff. It's not me, the actual person playing this character, which it is my name, but, you know, I've never gone by Bobby. And it's a heightened, ironic, sarcastic version of what I think, like a self-righteous artist type.
I mean, it took me months to stop calling you Robert. I mean, honestly, it just took forever.
Right. We lost hours of content because you kept calling Robert, and you too got the gig as an in for Tucker Carlson. You read him recently. Okay, well, this is just enough behind the scenes stuff for you. Let's get into the show because it's
Please
been a minute,
do.
And we have a political ruse to continue with the populace. So, with that being said, greetings from the prison industrial complex. We're gonna try it again. That was my fault.
Give another whirl.
That we were gonna get another whirl.
Hi, everybody. Mama C here. For the complete library, full episodes, and bonus content, and mainly to support this cause, visit Notes from the Pen on Patreon. To learn more about Bobby and prison reform, visit our website, notesfromthepen.com, and follow us on Twitter to stay current. This has been another Notes from the Pen production.